Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
Colonial Pipeline is probably the most important pipeline people have never heard of in the U.S. It doesn't carry oil or natural gas. It carries fuels.
Colonial Pipeline says it transports more than 100 million gallons of fuel through 5,500 miles of pipelines.
The massive U.S. pipeline runs 5,500 miles from Houston to New Jersey.
And it makes stops all along the way. So it supplies the East Coast with about 45% of its daily fuel. It's been around for a while. This is not like a new pipeline, but it carries like millions of barrels worth of fuel a day. It's split up into two kind of twin lines. So this thing is a major supplier to the East Coast.
The company says a ransomware attack has forced them to stop all pipeline operations to deal with the threat.
This ransomware attack to Alpharetta-based Colonial Pipeline could disrupt supply.
It's probably one stop short of the worst case scenario, but basically on Friday, it became known that it was hacked into.
I'm Carlos Prieto. This is Politico Energy. On Friday, one of the most important pipelines in the country shut down indefinitely after the energy company that operates it suffered a major hacking.
They did identify the hackers as the Dark Side Group, a, reading from our story, relatively new player in the ransomware space, but one that has gained a reputation for patience, competence, sophistication, and large ransoms. It sounds like it's describing me, except for the large ransoms part.
Today, Politico's Ben Lefebvre on the largest successful cyber attack on an oil operation in American history. It's Monday, May 10th.
As far as we can tell, at least for now, the hackers were not able to penetrate the operational, you know, technology. It was more about the IT side of it. And it was ransomware. It was basically, you know, we don't know exactly how much money they're looking for, at least that I haven't seen it. But, you know, they're saying basically, if you don't pay us X number of, I don't know, Bitcoin or whatever, we will not turn this back on. So the company is saying that it brought its operations down. It stopped the pipeline kind of in caution because they don't know exactly what it got hit yet. But even that is enough to think, you know, even if the hackers did not get into the operational side of things, this is by far like the biggest piece of infrastructure in the energy sphere in the U.S. that we know of that's been successfully hacked into.
If the pipeline's been down all weekend and it's potentially going to stay down Monday or Tuesday, you said that it's not a huge of a deal that it's been down all this time. Is it because we are able to store some oil, or like we do store some oil along the East Coast in case something like this happens? Or
yeah, there's fuel in storage. And it's also this pipeline only like really makes deliveries every 5 days or so. So it's kind of there's enough in storage that a 1 or 2 day outage is just kind of like a regular market thing. But if it's more than that, and I think it's also because if it's longer than that, it shows that the situation as far as the hack is more serious than maybe people at first, you know, believe or think. And there's also the concern that by then the news will have gotten its way into the mass psyche enough that people will start, you know, like my grandparents are here for Mother's Day, and I told my dad what I was working on, you know, on Saturday, and he immediately went out and got in, you know, and filled up the car so they have enough, make sure they have enough gas to go to Michigan. And I'm like, I don't think you got to worry about it that much, but it's, you know, it's like, but that's like the mindset that they're worried about.
The president has been briefed on the Colonial ransomware attack, and senior officials are working closely with the company to restore operation.
It almost makes me think of Andrew Wheeler's executive order. I think it was last year, but that one was about protecting the grid. Is there something parallel to that?
It's interesting because we got a press release from Senator Ed Markey like within like an hour or so, you know, saying that there's a problem that there's not a ton of cybersecurity experts over at the Department of Transportation, which is the agency that oversees pipelines. So he's already saying we need to fix that. We can't let cyber, you know, become like just a back table issue. This has got to go to the front burner. And then you've seen other folks basically say, you know, oh, this is a big, dirty, polluting pipeline. Why should we, you know, spend public money helping oil companies beef up their cyber infrastructure? They should already be doing this. And this shows that they haven't been paying enough attention to it. You know, fie on them. It's their problem, kind of a thing.
Right. And setting aside the validity of whether or not we should divest from pipelines or whatever, I think this does raise a point that if we suppose the private hackers were able to penetrate this system, then we are more vulnerable than we might have assumed to a foreign actor doing this. So, like, I wonder if you can tell me which government agency will be in charge of protecting this.
I will just say that one of the criticisms I've heard is that no one really knows at this time who is leading the federal government response to this. We know which ones are involved. The FBI, the pipeline cybersecurity is the direct jurisdiction of the TSA. When I called EPA or when I emailed them, they said, you need to talk to PHMSA. I called PHMSA and they said, you need to call the White House. And then I called the White House and they said, you need to talk to the NSC, which is part of the White House. And the NSC so far hasn't, you know, said anything. You know, in a White House that has been so focused on climate change, nobody really knows if there's anyone there who has a eye to how the oil and market and oil industry actually works and could guide a response to a cyber attack on the oil industry.
It sounds to me like the fact that there's so many agencies hopping on it and no one really knowing who's in charge kind of speaks of how unexpected and or unfathomable something like this was to happen.
Well, that's a thing. There have been people throwing up warning signs for years. Like, look, there are cyber hacks going on at energy infrastructure in other countries. We've had some smaller scale but still serious attacks, like I mentioned, you know, on utilities. So it's a problem that's been, you know, people have been throwing up warning, you know, calls for, you know, for years. But it shows that obviously more needs to be done for this to be taken seriously. To a person I talked to, one of the things they're paying attention to is, like, is there any state actor behind this dark side group? And if it is, that's going to ratchet this up even further. Like, you know, people whose hair on fire are going to have to go buy wigs to put that hair on fire too, because then it's showing that, oh shit, we may be getting into a cyber war with somebody, and that state actor knows how to get into it, like one of our biggest, you know, pipeline systems already.
If you like what you hear, tell us in your own words by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Ben Lefebvre covers energy and the oil industry for Politico. Our music today was created by Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Carlos Prieto, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Chevron is lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations, exploring renewable fuels of the future, and investing in low-carbon technologies. Because it's only human to protect the home we share. Learn more at chevron.com/lowercarbon.